10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. And it begins with more calls. Packers beat the Bears 20-19 with Carl Brooks blocking.
Hey, why is he not playing more on defense?
It's a fair question. He was for a little while
there. Yeah, he was, and I thought he was making some waves.
I mean, I think the return of Devontae Wyatt has cut into his snaps. And they still play T.J. Slayton a lot. T.J. Slayton had a nice play yesterday. But, yeah, they've got a lot of guys. I think, and I know you want to save this for later in the week, but the fact that, we believe in meritocracies, but I think the fact that Brenton Cox played about the same amount of snaps as Lucas Van Ness and was far more productive.
Well, nobody blocked him.
Well, on the one play, he didn't get blocked at all. But he had two tackles for loss. He had two quarterback hits. He had a sack. He had a good day. In 22 snaps. But he played the same amount as Lucas Van Ness. And the fact that Carrington Valentine played far more after Jair went out than Eric Stokes, who played four snaps on defense.
Yeah.
Those are two first-round picks right there, and you can have a conversation, too, about the production of the other guys that played a lot more.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for the Gutenator. It's not.
844-770-3776. Let's go to Monroe and go to John. John, good morning. How you doing today?
Good morning. Couple things. One is the positive, the low-hanging fruit, obviously, is a win. But the other thing is that I was pleased that they didn't have as many penalties as they normally have. And the hit out of bounds on McKinney was bogus.
Garbage. Garbanzo.
The words that Matt LaFleur used were slightly stronger than the two you
what
guys
did he
just
say?
Used.
Digital only, just between us.
Yeah. I think you don't need me to do that for you.
And my negative thought, one is you can blame this on Goody, aside from the first-round draft choice. But, you know, they had enough background on all the games they had played, and this defense hasn't done anything. So why was nothing done before the trade deadline? I don't know who was available. I'm not that sophisticated to know that, but somebody had to be out there to maybe help this defense. And so you lose a couple of draft choices. The first-round draft choices they've had, they kind of whiff on anyway. So what difference does it make? And the other thing of it is that LaFleur just seems like he gets bored playing calls. He gets tired of the mundane things and wants to spice it up, like the end around on at first and goal. You know, the guy loses like 5 or 6 yards. And it's like, just play fundamental. I mean, I talk smart. I've never played. But it shouldn't be that complicated.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's interesting that because everyone, myself included, would say, like on the second, I think the play that bothers you the most is it's second and one. You get an illegal man downfield, so now it's second and six. But you were at second and one in the red zone because of a 9-yard run by Josh Jacobs. Don't overthink it. He's running well. Give him the damn ball, right? Instead, you get stuck with a second and six after the penalty on Elton. And then, you know, you line up Jaden Reed in the backfield. I'm guessing, Tausch, that, you know, he's not getting the ball very much other than the touchdown catch. So LaFleur wants him involved. They think they can catch him napping with a handoff. Because it wasn't even really an end around. He started in the backfield. It was just a handoff. And he loses 5 yards. Now you're 3rd and 11. Right? And so that's how you end up screwing up in the red zone. You have a negative play and a penalty. That's the recipe for failing down there. Again, I don't know if he gets bored, but I do wonder, Tausch, if he feels compelled to keep everyone being involved.
I think it's tricky. You do need to have that in the back of your head, but that's got to be so secondary. It's got to be like, what's working? What can we continue to do? And I do think there sometimes you forget what got you where you're at. And Josh Jacobs got him down there, did a lot of stuff. And the Bears had a really hard time stopping Josh Jacobs yesterday when he got the football.
Mm-hmm.
And you can overthink it. And, yeah, you need to make reads and you need to do certain things. But for the most part, I do think you can outthink yourself. And I think LaFleur sometimes gets too creative. And I don't know if that's, we have to do this. We have to find this. Hey, man, if it's working, stick with it. Make them stop you.
844-770-3776. Let's go to Spencer up in Minnesota. Spencer, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys?
We're great. How are the Vikings fans today?
I have stayed in my house, so I don't know. I couldn't tell you what they ended up winning another one. So I tried
to stay away
from those. Whatever. We all know they're going to fall apart. Come on, nobody's taking them seriously.
That's true. All right, what do you got?
Anyways, positives, negatives, positives. I called in a couple of weeks ago and talked way too long. I apologize, ranting about Rich Bisaccia, but clearly he was the positive, the special team for the positive this week.
You motivated
about,
him.
What does he emphasize during the week? The day before he talked about, we're going to block a kick. I don't know how we don't block a kick. They emphasized that Carl Brooks after the game even said that he thought he was going to block the kick. Even after the last defensive snap, you can see T.J. Slayton like throwing his arms up, getting pumped up, like he knew they had a good chance to block the kick, and sure enough, they did. So Rich still might be overpaid, but I'd pay, $2 million, whatever his salary is, to have that W against the Bears, and I don't think we'd have it if he didn't bring up the possibility of blocking the kick. Negatives, Wilde, you mentioned it too, Jair and Goody. I kind of put them one and the same for this one. Because Jair, last year, during the whole injury thing, the one thing of note that he said in his locker room availability was that he doesn't want to be out there if he's not him. And like you're saying, it doesn't seem like he's 100%, and he kind of pulls himself out of the game. And it's just the Rasul Douglas trade is never going to make sense to me, and I hate how much I keep thinking about it. But you just look at the depth at the position then and now, and he didn't really make any moves this offseason to build some depth up when Jair has the injury issues. Nixon isn't much of an outside guy. Stokes is always banged up and not that great. Valentine, was just a rookie last year.
Mm-hmm.
It will never make sense that we traded away Rasul Douglas to move up, 60 spots or whatever for a full-time player. How much Jair Alexander is about the most important player on this team right now. If he goes down and he's out the rest of the year, the whole defense falls apart. And I don't know if it's like I'm playing body language police, but we don't really see him get hurt. We just see him sulking on the sidelines. And maybe that's my problem, but maybe he really is banged up. But it's just really tough to feel confident in him being, part of this defense when we need him out there.
Yeah, I think they felt really good about Eric Stokes in a bounce back year. Not sure whether or not they should have felt that way, right? But he had the same hamstring issues, essentially. I mean, he missed most of last year, right? He barely played last year because he was coming back from the foot injury and then he had the hamstring injury. So I think there was an expectation of that. I think they thought Carrington Valentine, who started 14 games for them last year, was going to make a jump. And don't forget, the Valentine and Ballantyne law firm, they really liked Corey Ballantyne, too. So I don't know if Goody saw a need at corner as much as now we look at it and go, well, Valentine hasn't made the jump. Ballantyne has disappeared from the rotation ever since he got torched by Jordan Addison in the Minnesota game back on September 29th or whatever it was. And Eric Stokes, clearly, Tausch, they watch practice every day. We don't. But he must not be doing anything in practice because even with Jair out, he got on the field for four snaps.
The question is, can the Packers count on Jair Alexander for the rest of this run?
And you have to answer no.
Yeah.
You can't say yes.
And if he's not out there, there is going to be slippage. You're paying him top dollar. I think, and I'd have to look at his contract. Is he going to be here next year?
I don't think so.
The numbers will probably tell you whether or not he will or not, but right now, it's really hard after yesterday and pretty much for a vast majority of this season, just missed time. And this is part of the deal. You get injured. That's football. But I don't think you can count on him as far as, well, we're going to do this, and this is how we're going to do our coverages. And you should, until he proves otherwise, not count on him playing a substantial amount of snaps, because that's when you do, you're just going to end up being disappointed.
Jair Alexander for 2025 scheduled to count $25.8 million against the cap. If they were to release him, he would count $19.1 million in dead cap money, which means they would save $6.7 million on the cap.
Well, and what's his base salary next year? I mean, that's...
His base salary is scheduled to be $16
million. Well, that's not much for a corner, but you got to play.
Yeah.
I think that story is still... He still has an opportunity, if he can get healthy and play, to continue, but I think if the season ended
today... Yesterday didn't help.
Deuces.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. More of your calls as we roll on after Tausch tells us about Tito's Vodka.
Jair Alexander, pour me in, coach, at least for a little bit. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy bloody, salt the rim of a Tito-rita, or take home the win with a Tito's and anything your heart desires. And what have we been saying all day? No apologies, but they didn't. They did, but they didn't.
You don't even know what you said.
I didn't know we'd been saying no apologies.
I'll show you. I don't think anyone said no apologies.
No apologies, baby, for winning. Never an apology for having a great Tito's after a big win. You can change up your roster, wash that lucky jersey, but just make sure Tito's is your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
I'm not hearing the frustration level on these calls that you indicated you heard in the postgame.
Yeah. No, I think there is a overall, we're always happy to beat the Bears, which is, I think... We always want our fans to feel really good about winning, but there's still...
No apologies.
No apologies.
844-770-3776. We've got a Bears fan on hold. We got Ricardo in Canada on hold. We'll get to their calls and more next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Calls 844-770-3776. Jesse's freed up a couple of lines if you want to call in.
Jason, I just got a tweet from Mark Gregory. And some of the guys, I like Barstool Sports. I think there's some fun content. I'm obviously a big fan of Big Cat. He's devastated this morning, which always makes it
sure
even more fun. Are the Packers a blank up franchise? Were they... Don't win championships, but they blank it up for others? Because that's not how I look at the GG.
What?
You have to look. I can't say either of the words because they're naughty.
I think I filled in the blanks.
Blank up franchise. You got it, Jason?
I don't, and I'll look at your mentions to figure that out.
What I'm saying is we've got 13 world championships. Yes, you could say some of them are from the Stone
Age. Big one over Pluto.
Don't care. We got championships. Are we now, just because we've not won one in a while, we're not a spoiler alert franchise. Like, we didn't spoil the Bears yesterday. The Bears spoil themselves. Am I crazy?
Yesterday, of all that, look, if you want to make that argument, I don't even know who have they spoiled it for.
That's kind of what I'm wondering. The Bears?
Because they you know what? You want a team that blanks it up, which I'm struggling with this. Is this the San Francisco 49ers? When was the last time they won a title?
95.
Okay, yep. So they've been to what, 3 Super Bowls since?
I was
right?
Just a young whippersnapper up at Auburndale High.
One with Harbaugh, 2 with Shanahan, but they haven't won it.
That's
right?
True.
They so not. They're. Blanking it up for other teams,
they ain't
maybe?
They winning it this year. Their schedule's a bear.
Yeah, they got
season.
A tough road. Luckily, the team that's leading their division stinks, so they'll probably still win the division.
Luckily, they don't have to pay a quarterback $60 million that's right now making $180 million.
Yeah, no.
Good luck, San Fran.
I don't.
They ain't even going to get to base camp next year.
I don't understand where that view is coming from. But
Bosa's not going to probably play this week. He got dinged up pretty good. So, good luck.
Good luck. Good luck. Oh,
here we go with that again.
And your plan, never mind.
Is that Liam Neeson?
Good luck.
Let's go to Josh in Madison. He is a Bears fan. So the Schadenfreude begins on Wildy and Tausch. Hi, Josh.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
No. How are you?
Great, Josh. How are you?
How are you?
You know, I'm just going through the motions.
Used to it.
What it is.
Yeah, you're used to it.
Yeah, it's nothing new. I mark it up as a loss every time we see the Packers. The Bears might be cursed, and I'm not sure they'll beat Green Bay again as long as the McCaskies own the team, to be quite honest.
Why would you? What would be the root of the curse? Because the Bambino, is there a root of where this curse would be? Because I think they might be. What do you think?
There's no Billy Goats.
Some digging to find that one
out. Okay.
All right.
We'll let you get a little time. Yep.
Two positives I saw from the Packers is the run game. Josh Jacobs, stud. That might be the best offseason signing that I've seen the Packers have
Xavier
in a while.
Xavier McKinney was even better than that. That's the problem.
They're both really good.
As far as offense goes.
Okay, yep.
And then the Packers offensive line, they kept the Bears D-line in check. They didn't get a whole lot of pressure yesterday. So two positives there. The one negative on the Packers side is the D-line. They did get a couple hits on Caleb and a couple sacks late there at the end, but I felt like this was a game that they should have dominated with how bad the Bears' O-line is, the OC change, just the dysfunction and everything you guys touched on last week. They should have had at least six sacks, and they didn't live up to what we were expecting. Somebody brought up officiating, and I wanted to get someone's thoughts on this. The Bears were called for leveraging 2 weeks ago in Arizona on a field goal, and the Packers yesterday were not.
Yeah.
Was there really a difference in those two plays? Because I saw them double rush the center, which you're not supposed to do, and one of the Packers linemen had his hand on the Bear guy. So
yeah.
Was there really a difference?
No. And Jeffrey Simmons did that in the Titans game. When Braden Narveson missed a field goal and it wiped out the missed field goal and the Packers kept possession because it gave them a first down. I'm not going to lie, Josh, I don't understand the rule very clearly because it didn't look that different to me either. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like Tausch likes to see the game officiated late in the game, where they're not calling ticky-tack penalties.
Yeah, I don't want that called on either side.
Pass interference, no, same man. Idea, right?
You know what's going on. Yeah, it's going to get goofy. Fight through.
Oh.
All right.
All right, Josh.
How about the abrupt defensive movement penalty Saturday night?
I don't want to talk about that.
Why would you? We've got a really good rhythm going here. Why would you do that?
That
why would you? Because you know it's going to irritate him.
I'm not even going to.
What are you doing here?
Tausch and LePe saying it made no sense. I heard Terry McCauley on TV saying it made no sense. Like the refs that just straight up
heard
had
Todd
it wrong.
Blackledge say on TV that somebody
another
peed
couple
on the
of
toilet
run-ins
seat.
Blackledge and I are on the same bathroom schedule. Man, I tell you what, old boy keeps following me too. It's probably not the place he wants to be.
Thanks for the call, Josh. 844-770-3776, 844.
Actually, I talked to Blackledge about that. He thinks, well, they're emphasizing it. You know, we had a wait in line at the back.
Well, was he in the stall?
No, there's no stalls. That's the problem. It's now door, lock, lock. So you get a little privacy. And you know, and that's something else.
Can I just admit that when you said I talked to Blackledge about it, I didn't think you were referring to the sudden movements by defensive linemen.
What did you think?
I thought you talked to him about the pee
movement?
On the toilet seat.
We didn't get into any of the bathroom etiquette, things
Todd,
like that.
Todd, I got to tell you, we got a lot of mileage on this on the radio show, but I just want to let you know.
Blacklidge and I were both in line, and we had to wait a lot longer than we wanted to. So there's a little bit we had a lot of time to conversate, and then, matter of fact, somebody else came up and said, oh, there's bathrooms upstairs. And we're like, yeah, you go ahead. I'm going to stay right here and wait. But Todd also, they're emphasizing things, but they don't know what they're emphasizing. It is a hot mess. It is the catch rule. It needs to get rectified. You can't flinch. Guys can stem. We've had guys stemming for years and decades. You don't flinch on a stem. Okay? It shouldn't be that hard.
There is no flinching, that's for sure. All right, we're not going to flinch. We're going to keep rolling with the calls, 844-770-3776. Want to remind you, as I always do, Paul and the girls were at Fleet Farm yesterday. If you are a Fleet Farm Rewards member, you got this nifty 10% off coupon that expired yesterday, so we used that. We used our popcorn coupon from the gas station. We used a bunch of rewards we'd accumulated. We stocked up on bubbler drinks again because Fleet Farm has the best prices on everything you need for everyday life. And you know we're drinking bubblers every day. And if you do find a lower price somewhere else, they will match it to make sure that they always give you the lowest price. Shop the best prices today in-store or online at fleetfarm.com. And want to remind you, too, and you probably know this already, hunting season is already underway in some locations, and Fleet Farm is here to make sure that you have a successful season. Shop their huge selection of hunting gear and accessories from brands the pros count on, like Remington, Spy Point, Mossberg, and more. Bag the best hunting gear before you head out this season at Fleet Farm. More of your calls and texts next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Continuing with your calls. And some interesting conversations unspooling in the YouTube chat, so make sure you join us.
I love it when you're in that YouTube chat. That brings a smile. I don't even know why, but it does.
Are they talking about Doc Rivers now, or what are the show are they doing in the YouTube
chat? No, they're back to our show, which I appreciate. Like, I get it. You know, we're not requiring you to follow everything that we do here.
I actually appreciate that they're doing their own show too.
Yeah, and you never know, there's some ideas there.
You
that
know
I
what
might
they say
for later in the week
is never content. That's what they say.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, you can use that, Jesse.
Oh boy.
As the content director, right? Is that
where
your title?
Where did you hear that?
Content is never content.
Who's they?
I'm not going to tell you who, but
well,
maybe someone from the academy.
I know. Oh, interesting. Pat.
Yeah, I don't think he was all that pleased.
Helmut?
I don't think he was. One of the Academy wasn't all that pleased with the edit last week. I'm just being honest. Not real pleased.
Maybe they should assign me another one now.
But we have total creative freedom over here, don't we?
No doubt. I'm pleased with the customer service I get at Associated Bank. It's the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards. We're going to play Take It to the Bank today, but we can't because we got so many calls, and that's a good thing. I like your calls on Mondays, although I thought there'd be more frustration from our callers, and there hasn't been. Well, there's very little frustration when it comes to Associated Bank. All there is are happy customers because they've got the best customer service in the industry. And if you're a Packers fan, there's no better place to be. Packers checking, you get the Packers debit MasterCard, you get the discount at the Packers Pro Shop, and you get early pay with your direct deposit from your employer. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. All right, let's get back to the calls because I know John and Racine and Jamon in Dallas have been waiting a long time, as has Ricardo in Canada. So let's get to those three here. John, you're first. What do you got for us, buddy? How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
We are great, thanks. Are you feeling good about the win or not?
Well, I'm not a Packers fan. I'm a Bear fan.
Nice.
But he's definitely feeling good.
They almost won, but they didn't.
No, they didn't. And you know, the Packers, I give them their credit. And I guess it wasn't the Bears. It wasn't their time, I guess.
Well, when is, I guess my question for you is, John, when is their time?
Well, you know, their time is going to come. I think Caleb is going to get things together, probably not this year, but maybe next year. And, you know, then the Bears are going to be like the 85 Bears, and they're going to dominate the Packers, and they're going to dominate everyone. Packers are not going to be on top all the time.
Well, I'll say this.
Brought to you by Tito's at Coors Light.
Thanks for the call, John. I would say this. Look, if you're a Packers fan and you relish in John's disappointment and other Bears fans' disappointment, I'm not going to tell you to feel bad for them. It did not go over well last week. Although I had a great conversation with Waddle and Sylvie about it. But I do think what you saw yesterday was a little glimpse into what they can be offensively if they figure out the best way to utilize Caleb Williams' ability. Because he made some big boy throws. He ran the ball very effectively on those designed runs and a couple of scrambles. I was impressed with him. And the last 3 weeks, you weren't all that impressed with him. Fair? So I think that there is stuff to work with, obviously. But 51-15.
You don't even know what offense they're going to run. You don't know who's going to be the coach.
Yeah, there'll be a new coach. But look at what Kevin.
By the time you figure it out, you're going to have to decide if you want to pay him $75 million a year. That's what's going to happen with the Bears. The Bears are in the worst place you'd want to be right now.
Why?
They don't know what they got. Like Caleb Williams.
Till it's gone.
That's pretty good. They right now, if they did a redraft of the quarterbacks off of last year, Caleb is maybe four.
Okay, we're not. No. I'm not. I'm sorry. I respectfully disagree.
Okay, you're not going to take Jaden Daniels ahead of him?
Yeah, because
you're not going to take Bo Nix ahead of him?
Yeah, if I was playing
today, you're not going to take Drake May ahead of him?
Oh snap!
That's four. That's how I rank it.
Yes, but all those situations are different. Right?
Washington has a brand new coach. They don't have an establishment.
Right.
The Bears have to reset the clock again. Who are they going to hire? Jason?
I don't know. They need to hire a Kevin O'Connell type. Look what Kevin O'Connell is doing with Sam Darnold. Look what he did. I mean, they obviously had their quarterback injury problems last year after Kirk Cousins blows out his Achilles. But I think he's a really good coach. I think Kevin O'Connell.
He's not their coach.
So I'm saying if you hire someone who does what he does, like Matt LaFleur has done.
But they haven't. They didn't.
Right, but sooner or later, don't you dumb into a good hire?
Doesn't seem like it.
Like,
Jason,
they hired Mark
the hot
Trestman.
New thing in Matt Nagy back in whatever year. Oh, he's got Mahomes. He's the quarterback whisperer. How'd that work out? I don't remember. How'd that work out?
Yeah, not great, Bob.
Okay. You can't tell me right now. And Caleb had a good game yesterday. And I'm still, from a Packer fan standpoint, I'm curious how it happened, but whatever. But you can't tell me right now, if you had to rank the quarterbacks and where you feel like the Rocket's going, he is not on the medal stand. He's not. He's not on the medal stand.
Right. And if you were doing that, I understand he's playing and Jordan Love is not, right? Jordan Love was not playing as a rookie. You look at the 2020 draft class, because two of them played each other last night, right? Joe Burrow against...
What a game.
Against Justin Herbert. And both of them are studs, right? But you don't know what Tua was, right? Tua has had good moments and had a lot of concussions. Jordan Love didn't even play the first 3 years. So I'm not going to say now that I know definitively.
I'm asking you right now. I'm not saying
of course,
in 3
right,
years
because
it could
the
be
Bears
different.
Are a dumpster fire. I don't think we have any idea how good Caleb Williams is capable of being. So if you want to rank the situations that those four
That's
quarterbacks
what I just
are in,
ranked.
No, you said you would rank him fourth. That's what you said.
This is the situation. What do you want me to do? Say, do you think this might happen?
Stop.
Okay.
Do you think Drake May is more talented than Caleb Williams?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Do you think Bo Nix is more talented than Caleb Williams?
I do not.
I know you think Jaden Daniels is.
Jaden Daniels is the top of the dog on this, yes.
Okay. Now, I would say that I have more. Now, if you go through the coaches, right? Gerard Mayo, first-time head coach, I don't have a lot of faith in, right? he's learning as he goes to. This is not the Bears vent line, Joe. That was a text from Joe in Manitowoc. Do you think Bo Nix has a better situation with
Sean Payton?
Sean Payton.
Yes.
I agree. Okay. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Which has allowed him to have some success, right?
Right.
Do you think that Jaden Daniels, with a coach who went to the Super Bowl, right? Their head coach went to the Super Bowl in 16, Dan Quinn. He's a defensive guy. I don't know who their offensive coordinator is off the top of my head.
Kingsbury.
Cliff Kingsbury, who's been a head coach, who's a pretty well-respected offensive guy. They've done a good job with him. He's in a better situation. All I'm saying is put Caleb Williams in Washington's situation, and Caleb Williams is probably playing pretty well, and Jaden Daniels isn't. Don't you think?
Yeah, but that's not where we're at.
I'm just saying they're two separate things. Rank the quarterbacks, rank the situations they're in. The Bears are legendary for ruining quarterbacks. And yesterday their guy played better than he had in a month. And they did a good job of putting him in position to at least be somewhat productive.
Yeah, I was thinking that's about all. Having him fifth. And yesterday bumped him up. Well, what do you want? I mean, you can't sit here. Jason, our job is to analyze what we see and what is going on. How on earth? I am not Johnny Crystal Ball, and they're going to hire Ben Johnson, and all of a sudden he's going to be the next coming. Yeah, it could happen.
It could.
What makes you think it will?
Let's talk to Jamon in Dallas. Jamon, thanks for holding on so long as we discuss the Chicago Bears. Welcome to ESPN 1000.
How are you guys doing this morning?
We're okay. How are you?
Doing good. Anytime I hear that you get a win, it's always good.
Yes! Luck. We don't apologize for winning, as Tausch told us.
At all. Definitely when we beat up on Chicago.
Indeed.
So, one of my positives, Christian Watson was finally able to have his day. He had a career day yesterday.
Amen.
Josh Jacobs is Josh Jacobs. And like I said, we get a win against Chicago, so always going to be a positive. One of my negatives is our defense. Not sure. I don't want to take anything from Halfley. He's a great defensive coordinator. It's just I don't know if Joe Barry was such a big problem. I don't know if it was Joe Barry or the players.
Mm.
I mean, like I said, Halfley is a great coach, but guys are just not playing their roles as we expected them to. I mean, all around the field, it's just trying to get guys to just play what they should do, what they're supposed to do, and they just can't do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
One of my negatives.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. One of my Matt LaFleur. I think it was maybe 2 minutes left, or roughly 2 minutes. And instead of running the clock out, which I haven't really heard nobody touch on it, instead of running the clock out, maybe, you know, forcing them to use their last timeout, kind of just stuffed the ball in there and gave them a chance to go downfield. And, I mean, luckily it was the Bears, but, I mean, you don't want to do that to any other team because we might not even get a chance to block a field goal. Any other playoff team might actually score, and now we're on offense trying to score with maybe 50 seconds left, you know. So one of my negatives was that, and my positive, like I said, Christian Watson had him back. So.
Yeah, let's go back to the defense, and thanks for the call, Jamon.
That was an interesting timeout that he took with 36 seconds left. That was curious what he was doing because he wasn't going to be able to stop the clock, and maybe they wouldn't have run any plays. They would have actually been further back.
Right. I don't know either. I don't know what.
I'm sure you'll ask him about it.
I will. It is on the to-do list.
What
indeed.
Else is on that to-do list?
I don't know. I don't know where I set that right now. I'll have to find it. The Jair Alexander one is at the top of my list, though. I would like to understand that. What exactly happened there? All right. Let's get to one more call before the break because this guy, has he received fast pass status yet? Because
he's getting close.
Like
he's getting close.
You know, he's waited for like an hour, and
but
I wonder
he hung
if
up
that,
on us
he,
last week too. In fairness,
he has not received fast pass status.
What does it take to get that?
Bribes.
Bribing Jesse.
Yeah. Oh, bribery.
Bribes.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to Ricardo in Canada. But, of course, it'll be Canadian, so it'll be a slightly lower percentage. Ricardo, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You know, I don't get people in Wisconsin. Everybody for the past few weeks was hooping and hauling, getting mad at the Packers. And yesterday we played the worst god-awful game we've seen all year. And I'm the one who's usually the happy one. And I'm more pissed off than everybody else. Are
wow.
we freaking kidding me?
Opposite world today.
What? Yeah, like, not, like, listen. My positive is that we beat the Bears. We will never apologize for winning. Hell, if we win the Super Bowl that way, I'll be ecstatic like everybody else.
Yep.
I'm gonna put that right there.
Love
a win
it.
Is a win.
Yep.
I don't care.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to eat. That's the vegetables. Now it's time to eat the meat and potatoes. Okay. First things first. Matt LaFleur, stop being the damn smartest person in the room. Your running back is running people over. I don't care if they know you're gonna run it. It's okay. You don't have to outsmart everybody. You put a defensive tackle at your fullback. You have two guards and a center who are huge run blockers. You put a defensive tackle at fullback, and you tell them, run it down their throats. Take their will. Enough of this end around it. It doesn't work anymore. They know it's coming. Hello. Figure it out already. Enough of this crap. Halfley, I like you. You're a good defensive coordinator. But guess what? There's starting to be a little blanches on our, you know, the honeymoon phase is starting to end over. It's starting to end up already, okay? I don't know what you're doing, but enough of that. If it comes to a point, once a team, a million cuts you to death, you need to do something. Tell your cornerbacks, hey, sit on the short stuff. Dare them to throw a deep. You have a safety who covers 50% of the field. Any deep ball, he's literally within a foot or two away from it. Dare them to throw it deep. Dare them to it. What's going to happen? Worst comes to worst, you pick it off or you score a touchdown. But you get the offense, who's the strong part of your team, the ball back. Enough of these 1,000 cuts to death. And I don't know what the hell he's doing to Quay Walker. He's not playing up those spots. But guess what? This Quay is not who we saw the first 3 years. That one play, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, where he had Caleb in his sight and he hesitated to kill. Last year and year, he would have drilled that quarterback into next week.
He's been indecisive and hesitant for most of his career.
No, he has this year because he's been the thinker. Take the green dot away from him and tell him blitz and run sideline to sideline.
He literally said that in the new system he has to think less, and that one of his problems during his first 2 years in Joe Barry's system was he was thinking too much, Ricardo.
Jason, watch
Ricardo.
It's on the field. You can see it. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's swimming right now
because
he's thinking of everything.
But he didn't know what he was doing before either. This is that. I don't think this is a change for the worse. I think it's roughly the same.
I don't know. I definitely see a player who's swimming right now because he just needs to play freely and be more attack-minded. Because that player exemplifies what's happened to him this year. Last year, he would blitz, he would come straight down the aisle and knock someone. This year, he just it's like he's afraid of the quarterback. And not only that, Enoch Barr needs to learn how to tackle. I don't care.
That's fair.
He's a great pass rusher. He needs to learn how to tackle. Once in the flat, Caleb juked him out of his socks. And two, on the last play, you got the quarterback in the pocket. Why are you jumping? Like, what do you think is going to happen? What's Caleb going to do? Why are you jumping at him? Hit him already. Like, what are you doing? And then the guy, like, oh, my God, for luck, oh, yeah, no bueno.
Thanks, Ricardo.
Who would have guessed Ricardo was going to be
the most negative call of the day?
That's not a good sign.
That's
Ricardo,
a big upset.
Yeah?
I did not have that on my bingo card. What I do have on my bingo card.
I love the fact you and him, you two should like do a digi only on that. You guys are fighting.
We're not fighting at all. We are disagreeing. And my disagreement with him, I think, is a fair one. I don't think that at any point I've looked at Quay Walker and said, there's a decisive football player. There's an athletic football player. There's a long, fast, athletic player. But he himself admitted he was indecisive the last 2 years in the last system. And Ricardo's right. He looks indecisive now as well. What we're not indecisive about is American Family Insurance.
Packer fans, ready for some game day excitement? Well, next time you're at Lambeau, stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. There's a little something for everybody. Visit us at Titletown to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/Packers. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
We'll continue with your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. Give him hell, time to hands. Gonna live life till we're dead. Give me
scars, give me pain. Then the same me, same. Let's get to one more call here before the 11 o'clock hour, and then Dave, Mike, Tim, and Eric, and Doug, we'll get to you in the 11. Let's go to Jason in Minnesota to wrap up the 10 o'clock hour. Jason, thanks for holding on. Good morning. How are you?
Really, 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 really suck. Oh, the Bears still suck. I've been on hold so long. Rodgers retired from the Jets, came out of retirement, joined the Minnesota Vikings, led his purple to an NFC championship game. We're on the final offensive play of the game in field goal range to go to the Super Bowl. He throws into triple coverage to Devontae Adams with a wide-open Alan Lazard streaking across the middle of the field. How you doing today, boys?
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
There we go. I was pointing at Jesse because you set it up so beautifully for Paul Allen to jump
Hit
in.
Hit the drop, Jesse.
Come on,
Hit
Jesse.
Hit the drop, Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse.
Yeah, come on, Jesse.
You have a point?
You know, you get the win. You love it. Positives, Jordan Love, maybe some better decision-making yesterday. There were some opportunities where you could see, like, he's going to be the Jordan Love of the first half of this season. And then there were some, like, live to fight another down moments where, and I felt like, okay, he can learn. He's capable of learning. That throw to Lazard in double coverage is highly sus, but I guess we'll just take it. Can Goody draft defensive players? I feel like we got a big looming problem, and I don't know if it's his tendencies or if it's his scouts or what is going on, but there have been a lot of whiffs for drafting on the defense. Everybody wants to talk about Quay Walker. Yeah. LaFleur's play calling. Yikes. I really struggle the way this team has played since, like, what, Arizona? Kind of a hobble Arizona that I think at the time was missing some key pieces. I struggle to see how this team, since that we saw that team on that field that day, gets to 10 wins. Like, I don't know. Like, the way Miami's defense was playing last week, and if they've got Tua and they're healthy, I look, if you take a sober look at the schedule, tell me how we realistically get to 10 wins. Now, the talent's there. They're capable. But at some point, you just are who you are. And we kind of keep seeing the same version of them. Thanks, guys.
Wow. 10. They have 7 now. They have 7 games remaining. Your Green Bay Packers remaining schedule to Jason in Minnesota.
This game this weekend's a big deal.
Points.
It's a big deal this weekend.
It is. The Packers' remaining games. Home against the 49ers. Home against the Dolphins
win.
On a short week.
Win.
At Detroit. At Seattle.
Win.
I'm sure the 49ers thought they'd beat Seattle yesterday, too. Home against New Orleans. That one's a win.
Well,
I feel
New
very
Orleans
confident.
Is getting hot. Valdez Scantling.
MVS. Not just Corey Bradford 2.0.
Dennis Allen was holding David Carr back.
It's looking like that, yeah.
At Minnesota at home against the Bears.
Yeah, they're going to have 10 wins. Now, are they going to have 12?
Well, pivotal game this coming Sunday.
Yes.
At home against the team that has ended 3 of your last 5 seasons.
I think you can knock them out of the deal with a dub.
And Matt LaFleur would love to do that after his
No, they're still
former
I thought they're
friend
good friends.
Stole his tried to steal
Aren't
his
Aren't they good friends?
I don't think they're as good of friends as they used to be. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. They've had a lot of injury issues. Was Kittle inactive yesterday,
he was.
I think?
Hammy.
They've got some issues over there in San Francisco.
I'm going to have a bold prediction later this week. Let's just put it down.
Well, make sure you write it down so you don't forget.
Just remind me.
About San Francisco?
Maybe.
Or about Kittle?
Maybe.
Phil Longo is the next offensive coordinator for the Bears. Tell us about Fortrea while you're at it.
Oh, Fortrea. Hey, you guys know. You got all kinds of studies that they have. It's not just for big people. That's what we focus on a lot. But head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. They got you need a little extra cash. The holiday season's coming. You want to get up to a Packer game and whatnot. Healthy, overweight adults, ages 18 to 65. BMI of 27 to 40. Study two separate stays. Not the 164. This is two separate, totaling 65 overnights. It's a lot, but there's a lot of money to be made, too. Compensation of $27,463. For your time and participation, refer a friend. You get another $400. And if you don't want to go for such a long amount of time, healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. This one, just one stay, 14 nights, $13,006 in your pocket. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
We'll get to your calls to kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
This is Devin Robinson from Badger Volleyball, here with Madison's best roofing, siding, and window company, Ridge Topic.